may be heard this morning. Lord, you know, our sister Nikki sang, Lord Jesus, that you're calling us today. And I pray we may hear your voice today. That your name may be glorified in our lives, I pray. Amen. I think we might be getting gremlins. Or has it been very hectic and stressful, with all sorts of demands being placed upon you, which you didn't ask for, but they come upon you? I did ask for the children to go to Sunday school first, because that might be part of the demands that are placed upon you. You know, has it been too much already today? Has it all been a bit of a rush and a bit of a tear trying to get here today? And really what you could have done with was laying in bed a bit longer. Yeah, I think, I want us to be honest with ourselves, because clearly and inevitably, some of us will have had a better day thus far than others. And it's thus far at 10:45. What time did you get up this morning? Or, what was I see? Have you been up half the night as well? You know, our lives are different, aren't they? The demands on them are different. You know, I asked my granddaughter last week how her art class went last Saturday. And the answer was, okay-ish. So my reply was goodish, but is your day okay-ish? Could be better, could be worse, okay-ish. One thing's for absolutely certain, you won't get this day again. You know, what does this day hold? And who do you believe holds it? Or do we just simply consider that it's just another day? This is not to convey my prowess in Roman poetry, just that I've got a computer. But the poet Horace coined the phrase carpe diem, which is usually translated seize the day. A freer translation might be enjoy yourself while you have the chance. For some people, carpe diem serves as the closest thing to a philosophy of life that they'll ever have. Loosely speaking, it's my time and I'll do as I please. You know, but no good putting stickers in the place when they fall out on you. But the Lord said to Haggai, the Lord of hosts said to Haggai, consider your ways. Consider your ways. But in Scripture, the significant things happened in what's called and described as today. You know, in Luke 2, it says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. A day of rejoicing. It says in Luke 23, when Jesus was on the cross and He said to the thief who was being crucified with him, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. It wasn't in a few days' time, a few weeks' time, a few years' time, because that day was the last day of his life on earth. But Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. That man had lived all of his life, and he came to a point where he thought, well, this is my last day. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. The best day of his life, which he thought was the worst day of his life. In 2 Kings 3, talking about Elisha, it says, now the sons of the prophets who were in Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you today? And he repeats it two or three times, because today was the day when it was all going to happen. Today it was the day when Elijah was going to be taken up into heaven. Today was the day when Elisha would replace him as a prophet. And Hebrews 3 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God today. If you hear his voice, what Nikki sang, today, if you hear his voice, what Julie sang, let your voice be heard today. Have we come expecting to hear the voice of the Lord? Have we come with a heart we said, actually, the Lord might minister to me today. He may cause a brother and sister to come and speak into my situation today. The Lord might give me a word of prophecy today. The Lord might give me a song today. As we come, and we come expecting to praise and worship the Lord Jesus, as our habit so to do, do we expect that the one we're magnifying and praising will speak into our hearts today? And then we read in Luke 4, after Jesus had expounded the scripture in the temple, he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. No other day, but that day. You know, do we value the day? How do we spend the day? Well, you know, you guess 8 hours of it sleeping. I remember those times. 8 hours of sleeping. 8 hours is working. And 8 hours is doing all the other things. And you sometimes wonder how you actually squeeze them all in. And I can tell you, when you're not working, you still wonder how you squeeze everything in. What do we do with our time? You know, we believe that as Christians, we love the Lord, our faith is in him. And John's been speaking to us on Thursday nights about faith and works. You know, and the work we do, our employment is a part of that. It's not something which sits on its own, because we can't separate our faith from our works, because it's us. It's how we are. It's what we believe. It's what we do, whether it's at work or whether it's at home. You know, I've challenged this morning, I like to think, there's younger people who spend many hours on their phones or on their iPads or with earplugs in, and you think, I was having a conversation. That didn't last long. You know, I pick up kids from school and immediately they're on their phones. I think, what are you doing? Oh, I'm texting this one, I'm texting that one. But you only saw them 5 minutes before, you know, and it becomes totally absorbing. And my challenge was, well, I don't kind of, maybe I do. I don't do that so much. I don't play games on my phone or on my computer. I spend quite a bit of time on it. But I also spend quite a bit of time watching the television. Well, you know, do I just do that because I do? Because it's my habit? Or should I consider what I do? Could I be doing something more important, more valuable? Well, the short answer to that, I guess, is yes, I could. The challenge to me is yes, I could. You know, do we value the day? The scripture said, this is the Lord's day. This is the set-aside day. This is the Sabbath day. You know, do we believe it's the Lord's day? And if so, should we, as scripture says, redeem the time? It says in Ephesians 5, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Know the transforming power of God's redeeming grace. You know, particularly at a time when it appears that every man does what is right in his own eyes or says what he feels is right in his own opinion. Because the days are evil. But if we redeem the time, we can know the transforming power of God's redeeming grace. Do we believe that we've got a God who's able? A God who is interested in you and me today. In what we think, in what we say, in what we do, and who we are. Our day might have started with challenges, but we've come and we've praised the Lord. We've come and we've worshipped the Lord. Has that made a difference? Should that have made a difference? Well, yes, it should have made a difference. Because if our whole thought process is focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, then Scripture says that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. It's a transforming presence of the Lord Jesus Christ must make a transforming presence in our lives whilst it's still today. You know, in the midst of quite often turmoil and confusion, Acts 3:19 says that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. As we love him, as we redeem the time, we say, well, what is important today? Well, that we love the Lord our God. That's what's important today. And the transforming power of his grace in our lives will make a difference tomorrow. Otherwise, it's just another day, brothers and sisters. And I might as well turn this off and we go. Psalm 118, verse 24 said, This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In 29 it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Ergo, what the Lord is to us today, he will be tomorrow. It also says in Psalm 118, and I've been reading Psalm 118 every day for several days, thinking that at some point I might actually remember it. But it starts, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Do we know the joy of that this morning? Do we know the time when Jesus took our sins away and said that we're a new creation? Have we come to the place where Jesus is our personal Saviour? And David goes on to say, open to me the gates of righteousness and I'll go through them. I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. Is that our testimony today? The Lord Jesus Christ has become my salvation. The old is past, behold, the new has come. My life has been transformed. And do you know what? That was in today. A today in your experience when you came to love the Lord Jesus and accept him as your personal Saviour. There was a day. I can't remember the day, but I can take you to the place. But I can't remember the day, but there was a day. I know there was a day because the Lord convicted me and an appeal was made and I could not stay in my seat because I knew that what the preacher was speaking about was what I wanted for me. There was a day. And it goes on to say, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And I believe he would say, the chief cornerstone in my experience. We don't build on the sand, we build on the rock of Christ Jesus, our cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing and it's marvellous on our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made and we will rejoice in it. You are my God and I will praise you. You are my God and I will exalt you. I'll give thanks to the Lord for he is good and his mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. There are a few more verses in between that, but I think that's a word all of its own. It's precious, but it's today. And it's today I want us to focus on. You know, a day where we come together as a fellowship. A day where we should regard one another. Not just me coming before the Lord to love him and to worship him, to seek him. It's all of us. And we should consider one another. Ephesians 4:32 said, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What's it today? Because the challenge is tomorrow might not come. We don't know. We can make plans, but we don't know. We don't know what God's got in store for us. We don't know how long our lives will be. We just don't know. But the things God's placing on our hearts today are the things that we've got to deal with today. Be tender-hearted one to another. Consider one another. Preferring one another. Encouraging one another. Blessing one another. Strengthening one another. As Jesus Christ does for me. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles. You know, we think, oh no, if this is going wrong today, that's going to go wrong tomorrow. You know, we build this picture sometimes. And it's fresh air. it vaporizes. Things change tomorrow. And what was really difficult today suddenly disappears. And all our fretting and all our anxiety of today was a waste of time. Because God knows what we stand in need of. And he said, sufficient for the day. Sufficient for the day, brothers and sisters. As we come and we spend time here with one another today in the presence of the Lord. Cal prayed in pre-prayer, day by day, your work I see. Day by day. Today, we should expect to see the Lord's work in our lives. You know, just remember when Elijah on Mount Carmel, and he was saying to the priests who were gathered there, cutting themselves and ranting and raving, you know, well, call on your God. Maybe he's gone away. Maybe he's gone on holiday. But that's not our experience. We know we can call upon the Lord every day, whilst it's still today. Hebrews says, therefore, if you hear his voice today, don't harden your hearts, but exhort one another daily whilst it's called today. Am I rejoicing because you're my brother, you're my sister? Am I rejoicing because you strengthen my arm in praise? Am I rejoicing because I know in my time of need, you can help me. Exhort one another daily whilst it's called today. You know, do we ring one another up? Do we text one another? Well, quite often. Are we on WhatsApp? You know, that's a new revelation to me. House group WhatsApp, we can pray for people's need instantly. Wow. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Exhort one another whilst it's today. Isaiah 41 says, for whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions. It made me think, you know, where have you come from today? How did the Lord call you to this place? What you made you come? What made me move from Southampton 30 years ago to this place? It was the Lord's calling. And I believe that's true of the vast majority of us in this place. Some who are privileged or younger have grown up in this place, but the vast majority of older people, the Lord has called specifically to this place because God's got purposes and plans for us as a people in this place, and he wanted this one and he wanted that one and he wanted this one to work out his purposes in this place. Dare we ignore that whilst it's today? We can't put off till tomorrow what we should be doing today. You know, do you sometimes feel, oh, should I go and see that person? Should I go and speak to that person? And we put it off. My brother's been outstanding a phone call from me for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks. He hadn't phoned me, but I haven't phoned him. And for the last week, I've been thinking, oh, I'll ring him tomorrow. Still haven't phoned him. My brother's 9 years older than me. What if I neglected phoning him today and the Lord took him tomorrow? We don't know, do we, brothers and sisters? I believe if the prompting of the Lord is in our hearts, we need to get up and do what the Lord's prompting us to do. If that's to phone somebody, to pray for somebody, to bless somebody, then why did the Lord speak to me and prompt me to do that? And I sat on my hands. Now I remember being in prayer meetings when the Lord might have spoken to me and I did nothing about it, and somebody else prays exactly the same thing. Somebody else prophesies exactly the same thing. And it could have been me, but I sat on my hands. You know, are we denying brothers and sisters a blessing through not giving forth the song of the Lord, through not going to pray, through not prophesying? Because today will never come again. And tomorrow, oh well, it was just a feeling. He's taken us from the furthest regions of the earth. And he said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, let's examine our hearts today. See if there are any evil thoughts of unbelief, any critical spirit, any opinion that we have, that we stand upon. Any thought that says, well, when you grow up, you can have a view. In actual fact, it might be younger people who are going to bless us today. It's never a case that children should be seen and not heard. You know, I spoke a while ago. It doesn't matter whether we're 8 or 80. If the Lord saved us, we are redeemed. We are in the chosen number of the Lord's elect. Therefore, we've got a responsibility to one another. You know, what things fill our minds, our hearts today? Thought, what fear, what doubt, what critical opinions? What do we hate? What do we desire? What do we covet? You know, what's filling our minds right now? Has the peace of God garrison our hearts this morning? Have we come to love and worship the God who made us, who died for us, who rose victorious for you and for me? He did it for us as individuals. And has that made a difference? You know, or have we come just out of a sense of duty or routine or tradition, or because it's what other people expect of us? You know, including our families. Are we being honest to one another? You know, we're not a group of strangers. We've assembled together for years. And many of us are related. Sometimes that makes it even more difficult. Sometimes it's a real blessing. Colossians 3 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We got anything against a brother? You know, when Ken broke bread last Sunday, he said, you know, is there anything in your heart against a brother and sister? Sort it out. whilst it's today. Corinthians 6, where he says, in an acceptable time I've heard you, in the day of salvation I've helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Harden not your hearts. The Lord's speaking to you today. The Lord's calling you to himself today. If the Lord's prompting you that he's got a plan and a purpose for you, and he's speaking to your heart today. And nobody moved. What is God speaking to your heart today? Psalm 95 says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. And it calls me just to think, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the shadow of death, he's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. And he spreads a table before us in the face of our enemies. That's not future, that's today. Because we are the sheep of his pasture. And sheep need feeding. And sheep need pasture. And the good shepherd has provided for all our needs today. Yet we're anxious, yet we're critical. Yet we've got an opinion. Come on. Jesus saved us. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. What a condemnation to the children of Israel. God's saying, though they saw my work, they saw that I provided manna for them and quails, I fed them, I watered them for 40 years in the wilderness. They saw my works and they turned away. Why did Jesus condemn the Pharisees and the scribes as whited sepulchres, full of dead men's bones, blind guides? They had the whole of the Old Testament, the evidence of God's deliverance, and they chose to ignore it and put extra pressure, extra burdens on men and women. When it was God who'd done it all, how do we respond to one another? Do we expect more of one another than we expect of ourselves? Do we say, oh, it's somebody else's job to do that, when it's the Lord speaking to us? Whilst this is today for me, which I believe it is, I'm mindful that we're one body. So it's all our todays. Therefore, what we say and how we act and how we think influences us all. Doesn't Scripture say that we're a body, and if one part of the body hurts, then the whole body hurts? Our attitude, our thoughts, our desires influence us all, for good or for bad. If we came with a joy in our heart and rejoiced, and we saw the army of the Lord at work in this place, what a thrill that would give us, wouldn't it? Everything else would be inconsequential when we see Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, on the move. And we joined the company of those who stood near. What a privilege. But we have an assurance that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How did we start today? Jesus is faithful. Jesus is faithful. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows, we sing it so often, I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And how do we value our children? How do we delight when they do good things? How proud are we when they succeed? So is Jesus of us. I was listening to a chorus the other day about Jesus smiling on his people when he sees them doing what he wants them to do. He didn't come and physically take us by the hand, physically lead us. His Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and causes us to do what the Lord requires of you and me. And he's pleased with us. He's pleased with his people. He's pleased that he saved us. He died and rose again for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. And he wants a relationship with us today. Whereas the Pharisees he criticized because they had the opportunity and they chose not to take it. But today, Jesus wants a relationship with you and me. In Philippians 4 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learnt and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you today and every day. He has not left us without the Holy Spirit. He's given us a comforter. He's given us the strength. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit for all who will choose to follow him. Just think, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have the power of Almighty God in us to do good works. Yet, so often we choose our default position is a critical spirit instead of a rejoicing heart. Choose you today. We do have choice. We do have a choice. This could be, for you and me, a day of new beginnings. A day of new beginnings for the people of God. For you and me. Now, Ezra 9 said, we have a peg in the holy place that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. Because we are the redeemed of the Lord, we have a peg in the holy place. We have a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ that we know that we have eternal life with him. And we've got a peg. You know, the kids put their coats on pegs at school. Their peg. I have my peg in the household of God. It's a precious thought, brothers and sisters, that even if we don't see tomorrow on earth, we know we've got a peg. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared a place for you and me, and he will not leave us, and he will not forsake us, and God is faithful. Consider your ways. That we can say we believe. Maybe because of what we believe, we are who we are and we do what we do. That we can come to that place where we can say, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvellous in our eyes. He took this heap of dust and made it into a vessel of praise. It wasn't by the intellect. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and if you haven't had that joy thus far, then today is the day. Today is the day. If you hear my voice, harden not your hearts, but turn to me and you will receive everything that fully satisfies you. Now, it was Nikki's prophecy on the Sunday before we moved here. Those who are on the outside of things should draw near and find what fully satisfies them. I took that word to heart, and we moved house that day. A house was provided for us, and God transformed our lives that day. We ended up living in the house that was the nearest to the fellowship that there could be. But I could have said, what a load of rubbish. But the Holy Spirit was so pressed upon me, I couldn't but say, Lord, have your way. What a rejoicing that's been. What a blessing that's been. Fully satisfied? No, not fully satisfied, but very satisfied, because I believe there's more to come. Let's break bread together, brothers and sisters.